Welcome back. We're so glad you stuck with us through the break. You are here listening to Bot Radio Network on KSIV AM 1320. We are going to go home. Well, actually, we're not going home right now, but we're talking about The Journey Home to God, a new book that has come out entitled 30,000 Days by Catherine L. Morgan. Her website is catherinesletters.com. That's Catherine with a C, not a K. It's Catherine with a C, catherinesletters.com. You can go there, read through her blog, a lot of beautifully written stuff. But we want to talk now about her book, 30,000 Days. So how are you doing today, Catherine?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Marty. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, I'm glad you could spend some time with us. You live in that wonderful state of Colorado, not too far to the west of us, but you worked with Campus Crusade for Christ for a while. And so now you've got this new book out. And my first thought was, okay, it's a book about heaven. But then as I started reading it, I thought, this isn't a book about heaven. This is a book about earth, but looking towards heaven. Let me start just by asking a simple question. The title of the book, 30,000 Days, what's that all about?
Great question. You know, actually, the original title that I thought of was Homesick. And I was just sort of asking this question of what do we do with our homesick hearts? Because we're not really made for Earth, are we? We're made for something so much more. And as I started to read, I realized that the average person only lives 30,000 days. So the idea is if we just live this little blip on the timeline of eternity, just 30,000 days, how do we live in such a way that we really experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about? We live in this broken world, so fallen and messed up and far from home, and yet Jesus promises that we can have life that's rich and full. So that's kind of what it's about.
And for me, as I was reading through the book, that simple thing of not thinking in terms of years, but thinking in terms of days was like, oh, wow, wait a second. that's a little different.
I think when you think in terms of years, it's kind of this, it seems like you have forever to get stuff done. But as we all know, time flies. It goes so fast. Yeah. And our days are really the backdrop where we live out what Jesus put us here for.
I've got a bunch of questions, but I want to jump ahead a little bit on my question list to ask, because part of the book you're talking about purposeful living, and you have something in there that I think might challenge some people, because you say in the book that a team about the size of a pair of small groups changed the world. And then you ask the question, which I think would probably make a lot of people stop. You say, what's your small group done lately? Wow.
Yeah. I was probably being a little snarky when I said that, but I know we just get so caught up in mundane stuff. And even, you know, the way I pray can be very self-centered and very just worried about little details that really, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he'll take care of all that stuff. I think it's incredible to think that Jesus gathered this tiny little team of people. And, you know, in our culture, we have all these kind of Christian celebrities who, you know, we have pastors who, I mean, they may be wonderful people, and they gather 30,000 people in a stadium or something to hear what they have to say. And Jesus, yet, he focused on this teeny little group and yet poured his life out into them, gave up everything for them. And then this little group of insignificant people, just regular fishermen, they went out and they changed the world. And that really convicts me and challenges me, because it means that anybody who gives their whole life to God and surrenders can see him do incredible things through us.
And I think, again, as we're keeping in mind that 30,000 days and what are we doing with each one of them, can really be quite challenging. Now, I want to jump... Well, I want to jump backwards in the book. But you talk about worship, and some people might think worship, well, that's about singing songs. But what is worship as you're defining it in the book? And then what is worship supposed to be like if we're looking with eternity in mind?
Mm. You know, Marty, one of my favorite quotes is from A.W. Tozer. He said that the secret of successful Christians has always been that they had a sweet madness for Jesus about them. I love that idea, and I think that's worship, to have one thing as your highest treasure, your most important thing, and that's Jesus, and to have just this sweet madness for him, to let him consume you, fill your thoughts and fill your minds and delight you, and to really enjoy him. I think, you know, as a mom, one of the things I try to focus on in teaching my kids is I can teach them to obey God, and that's good. I hope they do obey God. Mm-hmm. But how much more is it going to impact them if I teach them to enjoy God? Mm-hmm. And if they love Him for themselves, then they're going to want to obey Him, and that's going to overflow out of this love. So when I talk about worshiping wholeheartedly, I mean with all of your being, to just love Him and press into Him.
Another part of the book, you talk about caring passionately. Mm-hmm. And I liked one of the questions that you had in that book. Do saints worry, in that section, do saints worry about their wardrobes or cabinets? Mm-hmm. So what is it all about to care passionately?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most convicting passages of the Bible to me is when Jesus is talking, I believe it's Matthew 25, and He says, hey, you know, I was hungry and you didn't give me food, and I was sick and you didn't visit me, and I was in prison and you didn't visit me. He goes down this list. And I think caring passionately, you know, when we look at the people who are around us, and there are a lot of shipwrecked lives, a lot of broken lives, when we see those people as somehow a human disappointment, or that person is just, you know, a mess, we're not really seeing Jesus the way that He described that we could. If we look at that person, maybe somebody standing on the side of the street with a sign saying, hey, I'm hungry, I need food. If we look at them and we see Jesus and we give them that cup of cold water, not because we're trying to help the homeless person, but because we're giving that straight to Jesus, that we do whatever we do for the poor or the lost or the hurting, we do that for Christ, then it transforms the way I see people. Instead of seeing people as a burden, I see Jesus there, and whatever I do for them, I'm really doing for Him.
Well, that blends well into another section that you have in the book, just on giving generously. Now, I work for a nonprofit, and I mm-hmm. did some time on the missions field, et cetera, et cetera, so I know what it's like to have to fundraise. Mm-hmm. And I thought you had an interesting little challenge in there, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it, but you said everyone should try to have to live on fundraising at some point yeah. in their lives. And of course, Campus Crusade for Christ crew has a certain method, and so you have to really learn how to do that. But how did that translate for you then into learning how to give generously, having to learn how to fundraise?
Yeah, good question. You know, I don't think that's the most popular thing I say to tell people they should give it a stab. It is a really challenging thing to live on the support of others. And, you know, for me, one of the things that is most impactful about that is to realize, as I, you know, my husband and I receive checks in the mail, that's part of somebody's offering. So we're not getting a paycheck from a corporation. We're getting money that people have given to the Lord that then we steward. But the crazy thing is that even if you do work for a corporation and you get a paycheck from your office, it's still God's money given to you. It's still His cattle on a thousand hills. So whatever we receive is really all His. So then it changes the way I think about how I spend money and what I spend it on. On the one hand, I want to be really frugal. I want to be really careful with His money. On the other hand, He gives so generously and so abundantly. And I think part of giving generously is then you let go of that gift and you say, you know what, whatever that person does with the gift, I gave it to the Lord, and now it's between that person and God. So if I give money to a missionary family and, you know, they decided they were going to go out to eat and celebrate their anniversary, like, what a blessing that they could do that and that I could be a little part of that. And I need to not worry about how they spend the money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all God's money. So just being really extravagant and giving in a way, not that, like, coughing up a little bit and making it a strain to give, but really giving out of just, like, this excitement and anticipation of what God's going to do with it.
Yeah, I was part of an effort to help raise money for a family in need, and some people got very upset when they found out one of the things that the family chose to do with this. And I don't want to go into the story, but it was just one of those, okay, folks, come on, we're supposed to just give and bless, and this is a family that really has need. And, anyway, it's a long story, but I love that section on generous giving and just the idea of trying to live on fundraising. And we're running out of time very quickly. But I do want to ask, because in the continuing just that train of thought, you have a section on holding on loosely, that Lot's wife couldn't do it. Abraham could. How do we learn to look, as we're looking forward, to hold on loosely to what God has blessed us with?
You know, that's one of the things that's hardest for me that God really challenges me on frequently is there are things that I want, and they can become areas of my life that I just, you know, instead of meditating on Jesus, I'm meditating on this thing that I want. But to realize that it's all God's, and this life is so, so short, and it's all going to be gone tomorrow. But then we live forever with Him. So instead of holding on to things that are temporary, to, you know, as Colossians says, to set our mind on things above, to set our heart on things above, not on earthly things, it's really a challenge to me personally to just let go. We all know people who've died suddenly and unexpectedly, and that's always such a heartbreak. And yet, at any moment, at any day, God could call us home. Mm-hmm. And so living that way and realizing, oh my gosh, like, these people in my life are a precious gift, and spending those moments with them really joyfully. And these people that are all around me that are lost, like, I may not get another opportunity to point them to Christ. This might be it. So to do things that are eternal instead of things that are temporal is really key, I think.
We've been speaking with Catherine Morgan about her book, 30,000 Days. That's available now. Just go online. You can find it all sorts of different places, but you can also go to Catherine's website, catherinesletters.com, and that's Catherine with a C. Just go there, read through her blog, check out and find more information about her. Beautiful book. I've been blessed by reading through 30,000 Days, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have. So remember, your time is His time, so please use it wisely. God bless. Mm-hmm.